Let's say you're in a desert and the sun is blazing down on you. You are parched, you're burnt. And then you come to a beautiful sheltering oasis with a huge sheltering tree. You come under that tree, you can regain some of your strength. Is that hurting you or helping you? It's helping you. And you're not standing in the shadow of this tree, you're standing in the shade. And you see, that's what authority is.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Have you ever found yourself working for a boss who is just an absolute tyrant? I mean, how are you supposed to cooperate with this guy? Well, the Bible has a lot to say about what our attitude should be toward those who are in authority. Today, Pastor Wayne is going to show us the wisdom of having the correct attitude toward those who are over us. Here he is with a message entitled, Appealing to Those in Authority.
Well, today we're going to talk about something that's often misunderstood. And we want to nail it face to face and try to come to grips with it, because you don't want to leave something misunderstood. As once was as a letter to Dear Abby, you got to hear this. Now, they misunderstood something and they tried to get it right and they kept going. And we'll see how it turns out. The letter is to Dear Abby, and it says this. Dear Abby, my mother recently passed away, and the obituary published her age as 89, but she was really only 80. So apparently it was a typo. Now, this might not seem important to some people, but my mother was a prideful woman, and she would never have let that stand. So I think I should demand of the newspaper to issue an apology. Now, the rest of my family says, just leave it alone. But I think it should be done. What do you think? And she signs it, Outvoted in Ohio. And she writes back, Dear Outvoted, well, sometimes it's okay to get a misinterpretation cleared up, but maybe in this case, it's better to leave bad enough alone. This is from a California Newspapers Publisher Association as an example of a typo. Here it goes. Now, this is going to go into classified ads. You're going to see Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, a running account of this, a guy trying to sell something, and here's a typo. Okay, here's Monday. It says, for sale, the Reverend R.D. Jones, so it's obviously a pastor of some kind, the Reverend R.D. Jones has one sewing machine for sale. Phone 948-0707 after 7 p.m. and ask for Mrs. Kelly, who lives with him, cheap. Tuesday, newspaper writes, we regret having aired in the Reverend R.D. Jones's ad yesterday. It should have read, one sewing machine for sale, cheap. Phone 948-0707 and ask for Mrs. Kelly, who lives with him, after 7 p.m. Wednesday, the Reverend R.D. Jones has informed our newspaper that he's been receiving numerous annoying phone calls because of the error we made in his classified ad yesterday. His ad stands correct as follows. For sale, the Reverend R.D. Jones has one sewing machine, cheap. Phone 948-0707 and ask for Mrs. Kelly, who loves with him. Thursday. Notice. I, the Reverend R.D. Jones, have no more sewing machine for sale. I smashed it. Do not call my phone. It was disconnected. And I have not been carrying on with Mrs. Kelly. You see, until yesterday, she was my housekeeper, but this morning, she quit. There are some things that get misunderstood. And one of the things that often gets misunderstood is this whole issue of authority. Should we be under it? What if it's bad? How should we respond? How do we make any changes if there are some problems with it? If there's some dysfunction? Is there some character deficiency? Now, there is good reason to believe that Satan will bring more deception. The devil, the enemy, will bring more deception in this one area of authority than any other issue. Because you see, it was his very spirit of rebellion that caused his downfall, where he was cast out of heaven because he refused to submit to authority. And because of that, he was cast out of heaven. Now, what he wants to do is deceive many, many people today with plausible, good-sounding arguments that really oppose God's wisdom. But that's his whole deal now. And that's why you will see, even in our country and in families, this subject is so misunderstood, and there's wonderful, plausible, even religious arguments as to why we don't need to be involved in that kind of submission to any kind of authority because God told me, or this or that. And they're plausible arguments, but I want you to know that the enemy is very crafty, and he's going to deceive even the children of the king. And so we want to deal with this. And we're going to talk about principles out of Daniel's life to help us develop a spirit of excellence. You see, Daniel was under four different kings. When they were deported out of Jerusalem, he was under Nebuchadnezzar. And then, after a few interims, Belshazzar. And then he was under Cyrus, and then Darius. He was not in control of any of the countries, but through Daniel, he influenced the countries more than we'll ever realize. And God's ultimate will of returning the children of Israel within 70 years took place. And it didn't matter how terrible the leaders were, because there was that Daniel spirit of excellence moving in the midst of all of this, God's will was not in any way thwarted, even with bad leadership. It's just absolutely amazing. In fact, even today, we hear very little of these kings, but there's a whole book written about this Daniel. And 3,000 years later, people are still reading about the one who God recognized, Daniel. And so we take out of that book, some principles about authority. Now, this principle of authority is not going to be just an Old Testament isolated story in a person named Daniel. You're going to hear it throughout the scriptures, all the way into the New Testament. So today is our cornerstone scripture. At the top of our notes, we're going to read out of Romans 13. And so we're going to read it together. And when it says governing authorities, it doesn't just mean government. Oh, it'll include the government. But governing authorities simply mean any authority that God places in our lives for this season to help govern us, to direct us, to put parameters on our life, to give direction. And it's easy to rebel against those borders. But God is saying, there's a reason. Let's read about it. And let's read nice and strongly. Ready? Go. Every person is to be subjection to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God. And those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God and will receive condemnation upon themselves. What is it saying about authority? What are we talking about in authority? You know, authority is sort of like an umbrella. You can have an umbrella, and when you're under the umbrella, you're protected. There's a little bit of shade there, and you're protected from the elements. But we live in an autonomous society, an independent society, and that independent spirit actually comes right into the church, and we do the same thing. We just say, God said, and we're independent. God told me, and I'm autonomous now. And we have all these ways of moving out, but when you move out of the umbrella of authority, you now are exposed to the elements. And God is saying, no. Number one, would you write down? Number one, everyone must be under authority throughout their life. Everyone must be under authority throughout their life. It is a protection for us. It is something that is established by God. Remember, he said, those authorities that exist are established by God. So he who resists that is not resisting the umbrella. You're resisting the one who's put that umbrella over your life. Now, some people say, oh, wait a minute here. I ain't going to walk in anyone's shadow. I'm not going to be Wait a minute. We're talking about a spirit of excellence. And you see, sometimes we say, well, I'm not going to be under anybody's shadow, so I'm not going to submit to anybody. I'm going to be my own person. That's a wrong attitude. It's more attitudinal than it is reality. For example, let's say you're in a desert and the sun is blazing down on you. You are parched. You're burnt. Your lips are cracking and bleeding from the burning of the sun, the dehydration. You're about ready to die. And then you come to a beautiful sheltering oasis with a huge sheltering tree. You come under that tree and you can rest, you can regain some of your strength. And is that tree that's holding back the burning rays of the sun, is that hurting you or helping you? It's helping you. Are you restricted by that tree? No, you're actually freed up by that tree to heal, to become all that you're supposed to be. And you're not standing in the shadow of this tree. You're standing in the shade of this tree. And you see, that's what authority is. When you understand authority, you're coming under the shade of that authority that's going to help, that's going to give you benefit, that's going to give you certain restrictions, but God knows what's going on. And God, does that person get restricted because he's in the shade of the tree? No, he's actually released to become all that that person's created to be. And under that, the shade of that tree, I can heal up, I can get strong, I can become all that God wanted me to be. And if I say, well, I won't be under someone's shadow, that's an issue of attitude, it has nothing to do with authority. And so the first thing is God is saying, I'm going to put umbrellas over your life, and everyone needs to be under authority throughout their life. Well, let me give you two umbrellas. The first is each of us will be under a chain of command. Would you write that down? A chain of command. And a chain of command is under those that have legal responsibility for you. Legal responsibility. If you're a child or a youth growing up, you're under the chain of command of your parents. They have legal responsibility for you. You could be under government, it's chain of command. A husband and a wife relationship, husband is the head of the home. There's a godly, divine ordered chain of command. In education, teachers, or in an employer-employee relationship, there's an actual chain of command that we get to work under. So that is an important one. Now, in the area of parents, people say, well, Wayne, when do I get out of this chain of command? Well, when you have earned that right of freedom, as it were, to develop in such a way because you've earned it by discerning what your parents desire for you, and you make decisions of wisdom that are not opposed to the ordinances of God. And when they see that, then you move from a chain of command, what, out? No. You move to a chain of counsel. Would you write that down? The chain of counsel. When you move out of the chain of command, if you get married, so you're out of your parents' chain of command, you still are under the chain of command of an employer-employee relationship or government, etc. But if you say, well, I'm self-employed, you must seek for a chain of counsel. Pastoral counsel, mentors, spiritual counsel, whatever it might be, but you must come under some kind of chain of counsel, because that's where the shade is. That's where God protects you from all kinds of wiles of the enemy that are very deceptive, more than you'll ever realize. And he'll nail you, and you won't even realize what hit you until it's already embedded into your character, and now there's an immaturity or character flaw or character deficiency. And if you rewind the tape, a lot of it, it wasn't because I've had bad leaders. No, because I didn't respond well to leaders. And so there's a chain of command and also a chain of counsel. Let's read the scripture under chain of counsel. Go. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for whom? You, yeah. It's saying that these whom God places to watch over our soul for a certain season of our life, they're going to give an account for me. And let them do it with joy, because if they don't, it's going to be unprofitable for them? No, for me. So I want to make sure that I am doing it God's way. Now, you know, under the chain of command, going back to that just for a second, with those of you that are in high school, junior high, or grade school, or living at home with your parents, that is a godly ordained authority. Now, some people say, well, what if they're not that good? What if I don't agree with them? Well, first of all, there is one discussion that's recorded in the scriptures between Jesus' life at 2 and 30. Just one dialogue, one discussion that's recorded and put into scripture. You know what it was about? Authority. That's right, the chain of command with authority. It was at 12 years old. Jesus was in the temple dialoguing with the priests. His parents thought he was in the caravan with them, and they leave, realize he's not here. They backtrack, find them in the temple, and they said, did you know that we were worried about you? And Jesus said, didn't you know that I was supposed to be about my Father's business? Now, he had a choice to make. Either say, go on your way and I'm going to do what I think God's telling me to do, or submit that and himself to his parents. You know what he chose? He chose to submit and be in subjection to his parents, no matter what he thought. The very next verse, listen to this, the very next verse, it says, Luke 2:52, and Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Isn't that cool? You see, he could have said, well, I think God is telling me to do this, so God told me. He submitted even God told me to the chain of command. And the very next verse, it said, and he grew in favor with God and with man. That's pretty powerful. See, we live in a society and a lifestyle where we say, well, if God said, then I'm completely free from any authority. I don't need to be accountable to anybody else. Be very careful. There's an ordinance of God that he put in place. And God is not a God of confusion. He's a God of order. Now, this is a thing that's hard. It'll challenge you. It challenges me. But let me tell you, this is God's way. And God, would you write, you say, what if there are deficiencies in leadership? What if I don't agree with them? Would you write down a number two? God is able to work through authority to accomplish his will. God is what? Able. God is able. You see, God is able to work through any kind of authority. The scripture says in the book of Proverbs, the heart of the king is in the Lord's hand. He can turn it whichever way he wishes. In other words, he's saying, it's not authority. I've worked through all kinds of bad authority. Remember when David was running from a horrible leader, Saul, and to the point where Saul wanted to kill David. And when David had a chance to kill Saul, he said, no, I am not going to touch the Lord's anointed. I'm going to stay under the authority of the Lord. And in doing so, he garnered such deep respect from all of his followers. They said, this man is a man of integrity. He's going to do it God's way. And when David was brought to the throne, God promoted him and did it in due time. He had a huge, immediate following because he had already set a track record and he didn't shortcut and say, well, God said or this or that. No, he said, let's just stay with it. God's able to work through any authority. There was a day in which Jesus now was submitting to this monkey court about crucifying him. And he was before Pontius Pilate. And they were investigating, they were instigating, they were all kinds of stuff, just throwing all of these questions at him. A lot of interrogation. And then finally Pilate got mad and he said, don't you know that I have the authority over you? And Jesus said something real interesting. He said, Pontius Pilate, you would have no authority over me unless it had already previously been given to you by my Father. Authority that exists by God. So why do you think the king of the universe that could have called a legion of angels, you know how many? 12 legions of angels, that's 72,000 angels could have been at his beck and call. But he said, no, I'm going to submit to my Father's line of authority because my Father can work through anything. Even though you got bad Pharisees and Sadducees and high priests that are wrong and Pontius Pilate and Herod and all the rest, do you think God's will for redemption was thwarted because they had bad leadership? Not one iota. We are here today saved and on our way to heaven because God is able to work through any kind of authority. How many of you say amen to that? Our God is able. Our God is able. So sometimes we say, well, how come things don't come out the way they should? Because bad leadership. No, what the Lord sometimes says, you know, Wayne, because you've responded so poorly to leadership, because you thought they were so wrong, you muddied up the water. And then when the water's muddied, you blame the leader. When actually I look at you and say, if you would have just submitted, I could have taken care of that. And it would have been clear. So the issue was not with bad leadership as much as it is, I need more Daniels and I can influence nations. And that's what we're wanting to talk about today. How do we respond to leadership? Well, first, we have to remember that God is able to work through authority. Daniel's life. Daniel was hoodwinked and he was thrown into the lion's den, and it was that king that allowed that to happen. Now, the king made a bad decision, but the next morning he opens the lid and says, Daniel, are you still alive or were you like lion's bait? Are you dead? Hello? And Daniel answers him, but he doesn't answer him in anger. He doesn't answer him with frustration. Listen to his answer to the king who put him in the lion's den. Listen to his spirit, the spirit of excellence. Let's read it together. Go. Then Daniel spoke to the king. O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me, inasmuch as I was found innocent before him, and also toward you, O king. I have committed no... Yeah, you see Daniel's respect for those in authority? Did you know that God, those of you that are under the chain of command of your parents, did you know that God selected your parents? And some of you say, yeah, but they're pretty deficient. They got some problems. You know, God is not surprised. He doesn't look at your parents and say, oh, they're so bad. Oh, man, I missed it. Sorry. Oh, man, I was wanting to give you another set of parents, but that, oh, man. No, it doesn't catch God off guard. God is able to work through even the deficiencies of your parents to develop in you wisdom. And when you see something, anger or this or that, God will teach you about your own life through that without you retaliating and being angry at them. No, you learn from that and it develops in you a depth of wisdom. I look at my life and the things that took place and the kind of parents that I had and some of the things that I didn't quite agree with. But you know what? God looks at me then. He looks at me years away and he says, you know, the best classroom to develop in you what I need you to be here is this. And it won't be the easiest, but it'll be the best classroom that I know. And if you will just respond to authority, if you'll just stay under authority, everything that I want you to be will come to pass. But if you fight against it, it'll mutate you. And when you end up mutated over here, you'll blame your parents, but it ain't your parents. It's your poor response to authority that I put in place. Because see, sometimes we say, I'm just going to go against authority. I'm going to go against them because their attitude is bad, or they're bad in character, or they got a deficiency of some kind. First of all, you must distinguish between the position or the office of authority that's placed there by God and the personality deficiency that that leader might have that's in that office. You still respect the office regardless of who's in that office, because that'll change. But that office has been delegated, designated by God. And if I say, forget the office because that person's personality is bad, so I throw it all away, it's the same as getting a speeding ticket. And because you don't like the attitude of the arresting officer, it gives you the right to tear up the ticket and say, there you go. Well, what'd you do that for? Because I don't like your attitude. What do you think will happen to you? But see, we do that a lot in relationships when those are placing authority over us. We say, because I don't like your attitude, or you got a personal deficiency in this or that or weakness here, therefore I don't respect any of that. And God told me, so I don't have to do that. And the Lord's saying, no. You will have that deficiency in you later on because you don't understand authority. So we respect the office that God has placed there, though we may indeed recognize that there are personality deficiencies of that one. That's why God says, pray for those in authority over you. But listen, I can work through any authority. That's not the issue. I want you to be a person who's developing correctly because there's an order, and I want you to respond, not to that person as much as through that person to me, and I will develop you. God is able to work through all of those things. And that's even in the husband-wife relationship. Sometimes you say, well, what if my husband is no good, you know, etc. And well, maybe so. Maybe there's some character deficiencies in that person, but there's character deficiencies in all of us. How many of you with a raise of hand would say, there's a few deficiencies in me? Raise your hand. Yeah. The rest of you are lying, because it's every single one of us has deficiencies. So if we start calling one another, like, we might as well call ourselves that, because we're all in that way. So the Lord is saying, it's not character deficiencies that's the problem. It's submitting to the order of God. I can take care of the rest. And we pray one for another. And that's what it's all about.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled Appealing to Those Who Are in Authority. We'll bring you the conclusion of this message on tomorrow's broadcast. Thank you for joining us for Words of New Hope. Until the same time, next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord, and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.